After 4 years as Ukraine's ambassador to the United States, Oksana Markarova is leaving Washington, a signal moment in the U.S.-Ukrainian relationship. Since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine early in 2022, Ambassador Markarova has been a tireless advocate for her country. "It is no longer work," she told Monitor editors and writers at a dinner 6 weeks into the war. Now, as Monitor reporter Anna Mulrine-Groby writes today, President Volodymyr Zelensky has changed his approach to President Donald Trump. He's dressing differently. He's saying thank you. He's offering to pay for weapons. And following Republican requests that Ms. Markarova be replaced, amid charges that she's too close to the Democratic Party, a new ambassador will soon be in Washington. With that will come new opportunities for understanding and collaboration. It's Friday, July 11th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. A federal judge paused Trump's birthright citizenship order. The New Hampshire judge said he'll certify a class action lawsuit including all children who would be affected by President Donald Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship, and issue a preliminary injunction blocking it. Judge Joseph LaPlante announced his decision Thursday after an hour-long hearing and said a written order will follow. The order will include a 7-day stay to allow for appeal. Kerr County has long delayed a flood warning system. A flood warning system that would have cost about $1 million to better protect the 50,000 residents of Kerr County, Texas, and thousands of youth campers and tourists along the Guadalupe River, has gone unfunded for more than a decade. In some cases, officials found the terms of funding to be unfavorable. In nearby Comfort, a 3-minute warning sound signifying flood danger helped evacuate the town of 2,000 people. Also, a court paused the click-to-cancel rule. It would have required businesses to disclose when free trials or other promotional offers end and let customers cancel recurring subscriptions and memberships as easily as they started them. The rule was set to go into effect Monday, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit said the Federal Trade Commission made a procedural error in its related cost analysis. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Floods, fires, raids, protests, and now lawsuits. Our reporters take a look at how Los Angeles is faring with this drumbeat of challenges, including the recent pressure from the Trump administration, and what the path forward might look like. For now, though, many migrants, both documented and unauthorized, are hunkered down at home, afraid to venture out to work, shop, eat at restaurants, or attend church. Immigrant advocates and some surrounding city governments are springing into action with aid for families. Francine Kiefer and Ali Martin report from Los Angeles for The Monitor. President Donald Trump's threat to impose a 50% tariff on Brazilian imports seems of a piece with his broader tariff strategy. But Mr. Trump is also using tariffs as a cudgel against a country whose former leader, Jair Bolsonaro, faces trial for a coup attempt. Mr. Trump, a Bolsonaro ally, is crying witch hunt. The U.S. tariffs, due to take effect August 1st, represent a melding of Mr. Trump's personal feelings with U.S. interests and viewing them as one and the same, one analyst says. We just haven't seen that before. Mark Sappenfield, Constance Malloray, and Whitney Ulick report from Berlin, Rio de Janeiro, and Mexico City for The Monitor. It's been a roller coaster week for Ukraine, with U.S. military aid first paused, then reinstated. The shifts follow President Donald Trump's increasingly frosty signals to Russian President Vladimir Putin about his intransigence over peace efforts. Mr. Putin has had little incentive to negotiate, because from his point of view, he's winning, says retired Colonel Mark Kansian, senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I think Trump may have recognized this. Anna Mulrine Groby reports from Brussels for the Monitor. As a candidate, Donald Trump promised to be the president to end all wars. But that pledge depends on convincing Russia and Israel that military force alone will never prevail. Both Russian President Vladimir Putin and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are proving to be a very tough audience. Mr. Putin just seems like he wants to keep killing people, Mr. Trump lamented last week. Mr. Netanyahu also seems reluctant to embrace the president's view of the political limits and political perils of waging war. Ned Temko reports from London for the Monitor. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has long sold himself to the Israeli public as Mr. Security. Hamas's devastating October 7 attack, for which the Israeli leader has not taken responsibility, stained his record. Now he's hoping the war with Iran has rehabilitated his image. And a possible bid for re-election is clearly in the air, as the nation's longest-serving prime minister makes high-profile stops with powerful optics, including Monday's White House dinner with President Donald Trump. Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. For a club of women walkers in Las Vegas, even the desert heat doesn't deter their weekly gathering. Many of them have sought out the conversation and companionship, a sneaker-clad effort to strengthen the social fabric of the area. The group's founder, Jasna Zenlevicha, wasn't thinking about running clubs when she started Girls Walk Vegas last summer. It was another realization that put the idea in motion. We're always either spending money, eating, or drinking, she says. That's when she and two friends started the club, and momentum quickly grew. Jackie Valley reports from Las Vegas for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on When Art Sows Friendship Between Foes. In some 900 years, might the Russians and Ukrainians exchange a grand work of art about their current war as a lasting treasure of a violent past that eventually yielded to peace? Might the Israelis and Palestinians do the same? Perhaps the Indians and the Pakistanis, or any other peoples in an ongoing conflict? If any do exchange an artistic artifact about a bygone conflict, a model for it was set this week. On Tuesday, France announced it will lend Britain the famed Bayeux Tapestry starting in late 2026. The 230-foot-long wool embroidery from the 11th century depicts a narrative about the conquest of England by a French nobleman, including the Battle of Hastings in 1066. The war, won by William the Conqueror of Normandy, was the last time England had been totally and successfully invaded. Modern ties between Paris and London have been so close for so long that French President Emmanuel Macron decided that the fragile needlework, with its 58 scenes of 626 medieval characters and 202 horses, was worth a 9-month showing at the British Museum. In return, Britain will lend two artifacts for display in France, a 7th-century helmet from the Germanic Anglo-Saxon people and a 12th-century set of carved chess pieces presumed to be from Norway. During a state visit to the United Kingdom this week, Mr. Macron said the cultural exchange will be a symbol of a relationship grounded in universalism that overshadows differences and will perhaps bring a new era. The UK's Culture Secretary, Lisa Nandy, said, "This loan is a symbol of our shared history with our friends in France, a relationship built over centuries and one that continues to endure." Scholars believe the visually rich Bayeux tapestry was commissioned by the victors, but that it was sewn in England by local seamstresses. That helps explain why the losing side, under Harold Godwinson, the last Anglo-Saxon king, is depicted with some sympathy. There is no other single item in British history that is so familiar, so studied in schools, so copied in art as the Bayeux Tapestry, said George Osborne, chair of the British Museum Trustees, in a statement. A few scholars suggest the work is a peace offering for the people who survived. Indeed, the cultures and languages of the Normans and Anglo-Saxons did weave together over time. Art often serves as a peace builder. It can reconcile former enemies by depicting the shared emotions after a conflict, leading to an empathy that may last centuries. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we look beyond a mortal and finite sense of life to the spiritual, we experience more of the boundlessness of our God-given existence. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.